Good morning, and welcome to the April edition of Black Book Talk. I'm Emma Jackson Ford, Bookwoman, and here with me is...
Ovi Hill with Mirror Image Books. So, this is a very, very interesting day. What I find out is Patricia Welch is on the way, and she usually leads off. So, Emma, what I'm going to do is turn the program over to you so you can lead the way, and then we'll see what's happening after that.
Great. Today we have a guest. William, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Thank you. Thank you for being here with us today. We're going to be talking about writing groups, and I understand from our friend Denorja Taylor that William is in a writing group with her where you're either online or on the phone?
Well, what we have is every week we schedule a Google Hangout on Tuesday evening. And the participants in this Hangout are all writers, and you know, of various levels, and some have published, some have not. Some do books, some do short stories. But one of the things that we all have in common is a desire to share what we know and to help each other, as the Army say, be all we can be in terms of being writers.
From what I've been reading, there are writing groups all over the U.S., probably all over the world, where people get together and they read samples of their writing, they get critique, they get hints for how they could make it better, and they just get the satisfaction of being able to share their ongoing projects. I belong to a writing group, and OB belongs to a writing group, and one of our guests today is Denorja Taylor, and she belongs to a writing group. I understand, William, that you've been our guest before, of course, so we've met you, but I also understand that you have a new trilogy that's coming out.
Yes, and first of all, I do want to thank you for having me back. It is an honor being here. My first visit, I talked about a science fiction trilogy that I've published. It's called the Dark Side Trilogy, and it is available at least online at Amazon and Barnes & Noble. But just recently, I finished a follow-up trilogy to the first one, and this one's called the Archangel X Trilogy, and it's, all three books are done. As a matter of fact, as I'm sitting here now, I'm in the middle of editing the second volume of that trilogy, trying to get it prepared to get it ready to go out to a copy editor and someone who can clean it up, make sure I didn't make too many mistakes. The books in this series do have many of the same characters from the first trilogy, so there's that familiarity there for people who did enjoy the first series. But what they're doing is they're taking a look at different challenges that meet their community. And for those who don't know, the first trilogy actually tells the story of what happens in the United States of America when the country finds out that African Americans have been secretly living on the backside of the moon since before Neil Armstrong got there.
So when you started the trilogy, were you with this writing group?
No. The first trilogy, actually, I started in 2001. But the second trilogy, I've done all along, excuse me, all along with the writing group that I'm in now. And Denorja is in that writing group as well. She's a recent member. She didn't start with us a few years ago, but she participates every Tuesday just like everybody else, and we get to talk about her works and those in progress, and we even talk about past works because a lot of us have read the books that other of us in the group have written. And the fun part of our group is by using an online tool like Google Hangouts. We have the Norja who's in Portland with you guys. We have somebody else in we have someone in California. We have someone in New York. I'm in Chicago. We have someone down south, you know, in the Atlanta area. So it's such a great environment to be able to draw people from anywhere and yet have this common experience.
So would you say that they are like editors for your work?
Well, I think more so they are their peers who are serious about providing a decent critique of what we're doing. And also, since we all have different experiences, we get to talk about things that we're good at and maybe try to help other people pick up, you know, whatever deficiencies they may think that they have in that area. Like one of the things that I think I'm very good at, and what people have told me, especially writers have told me, is in character development. You know, I'm very good at creating three-dimensional characters, you know, without a lot of exposition, without a lot of, you know, words. And so when we talk about character development, that's something that I believe that I actually bring something good to the group to talk about.
One of the things we did in our writing group is we would bring copies of whatever we were writing, and we would take turns reading aloud, but everybody had a copy of it so that they could do editing and then make comment on the side to help you out once you were back home working. And that system worked a while for us.
We have done the same thing. Because we use Google Hangouts, which is, you know, it's a pretty powerful tool, we have also used Google Docs. Google's document management system. Mm-hmm. And so if somebody has a particular piece of writing that they want to share, they'll put it on Google Docs and then share it with everybody. So we can all log in, look at it, we can actually edit, just like you talked about, and then, you know, you submit our critiques to the author, and then if necessary, we'll all talk about it later. Sometimes it's formal like that, sometimes it's less formal. And what's nice is, with those of us who have published, that makes our work very accessible to other people. They could either download it to a reader like a Kindle, or they could actually buy the books, and then we will talk about how we saw their writing, whether we thought that there could have been improvements or things like that. But we always do it in a very, very positive light, because our goal is basically to make all of us the best possible writers we can.
We have just been joined by Denorja Taylor, our special guest today.
Good morning.
Welcome.
Thank you.
She brought with her something that I'll let her talk about.
Well, has our guest talked about his book yet?
He's talked about his trilogy.
I am reading it right now, and I tell you, it's a page-turner. I'm in the third book of this trilogy, about halfway through, and every time I pick it up, I keep going and keep going. It is really, really good and well-written, and I was immediately captured by the way he writes and the way he tells a story.
Now, is this science fiction?
Yes.
Okay.
And perhaps William could tell you more about that, because it is just fascinating. I've never seen a story like this.
He's been telling us a little bit about it. I wanted to know from the two of you, I know that you belong to the Maya Angelou Writers Guild.
Yes.
And you also belong to the sci-fi group. Can you talk a little bit about how they're different and how you've been helped by each?
Well, the Maya Angelou Writers Guild, to me, is a very close-knit group that we help each other. with what we're doing and how to get information for publishing. And there are several areas that we all work on, and each one of us is different. We each have a different genre that we're interested in. And so that opens up what's going on in the writing community, because each of us belongs to another group. The sci-fi group that I discovered online focuses just on sci-fi and the different worlds that are built in that genre. And it's fascinating because, you know, sometimes I wonder, how do people think up this stuff? You know, because we go outside the world that we live in. And what would you say about that, William?
Well, you're talking about the Black Science Fiction Society.com site?
Yes.
Yeah, I think the thing that distinguishes it is, first of all, its longevity. It's been around for 10 years. And all of the science fiction, fantasy, horror, art, even webisodes, television shows, online video, are all created by African Americans. And I think that distinguishing characteristic is one of the things that makes it so interesting, because what you're seeing is a group of authors, a group of creators who fit right into the term Afrofuturists. These are people who are imagining what our present day and our future will be in terms of an African-American perspective. And so finding that wealth of information in one place was a surprise to me when I joined. I joined about 6 years ago.
I love that term, Afrofuturist.
Yes.
And how are people outside of the Black Science Fiction Society embracing Afrofuturism?
Well, I think we've seen a lot of changes, let's say in the last 5 years, and most of it is through exposure. There's no doubt about it that the success of the Black Panther movie has made a big difference in Hollywood's perception about whether Black-themed content is going to be popular with more than African Americans. I mean, it's I guess done some record-breaking numbers in terms of the money it's made. Also, one of the things that I think that popular culture is finding out is that looking at things from more than just the usual American cultural perspective is actually interesting, and just from a purely mercenary point of view, it makes money. A couple years ago, a study was done in Hollywood about diversity in films. And what they found out was films that had very, very diverse casts made more money because people would see themselves in it, or they saw a world or a movie that actually reflected the reality of the world around them. And so when you look at that, when you look at, you know, the Afrofuturist movement, when you look at Black-themed entertainment, there's no doubt that it's popular in common culture. Another phenomenon that people took a close look at was when Luke Cage was finally released by Netflix, the people trying to download Luke Cage broke Netflix for 3 days.
I was,
you know, and so that's more than just 32 million African Americans in America downloading something to take a look at it. That was a worldwide phenomenon.
Excuse me for just a moment, William. I'm
sure.
Being told that another guest is joining us.
Yeah, speaking of trilogies.
Daria, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Dr. Daria Funches, how are you today?
I'm great. How are you?
Good, good. Glad that you could be here today.
And I want to say hello. This is Patricia Welch. Got here a little bit late, but delighted to be here at all. So,
hello, Patricia.
How are you? Hi, Dr. Funches. Good to hear your voice.
It's great to hear yours.
And I want to say good morning to you, Emma. This is Emma, and I wanted to say good morning to you, Dr. Daria.
Good morning. Good morning.
And we're also on the line with Dr. Hayashi. Are you still there?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Well,
but please,
we were continuing.
Let's not be so formal.
Okay. We were continuing something you were saying, Dr.
Oh,
Hayashi.
I was just saying what I was. Please call me William, or if you have to be formal, it would probably be. Well, Reverend Dr. Professor, I don't know. Anyway, when you talk about black themed entertainment, you know, there was always pushback. You know, when Bill Cosby did his last television show, people objected to the fact that, you know, you had a black doctor marrying a black lawyer who had teenage children with white problems, and that was how they said this was a completely unrealistic show. But, you know, the popularity of it was undeniable. And so you can't just blanketly say that, you know, black-themed entertainment or Latino-themed entertainment or any, you know, if you try to delineate any kind of entertainment like that, or even LGBT, there is an audience, a greater audience, that people have been ignoring. And that's why I think all of these different genres and all of these different cultural perspectives do well in today's world.
You know, I'm probably the only person here or on the line who isn't a writer, isn't a writing group. And I've been very curious about the other things that writing groups do. It seems to me that in addition to critiquing the work, you and helping people with their technical skills, that as I listen to people talk about their groups, it just seems like there's something more that these groups give to each other, that there are other things that you do to support each other as writers, but also as people. And maybe that's just a misperception, but I feel like, you know, that I'm hearing things, I've heard things over the years that these groups do, and I'm like, well, it's kind of like a social club as well as a, but I don't know, it's always been interesting to me.
So much more.
Ah, okay.
I remember a few years ago, we went on, the Maya Angelou Writers Guild went on a retreat up at,
Skamania Lodge.
We went to Skamania Lodge. We stayed for the weekend. We had time to read on our own or read each other's stuff or write our own things and then share. We ate our meals together. We walked around together. And I think some of us even went to the spa there. So we did this wonderful thing all together as a group, but we brought in a speaker who did a wonderful talk to us that evening after dinner about writing and about their experience writing. And when we've had other retreats, we have always brought in a speaker to speak to us on the first night.
I know there have been several. There's a Maya Angelou group. There is or was the Northwest African American Writers Project. And I'm not sure if there are there any other black-focused writers' groups in this area?
I don't know of any. But
I think there is one in. I think there's one in the Seattle area. I don't know of one.
Oh yeah, there is one up there. Okay.
And I was involved in a writers' group in the Seattle area. It was not the African American focused group, but I did hear about that group later after I was in this other group, and. And then I've been invited to speak to other groups. So I think one of the functions that the writers groups serve is to really allow you to hear your voice, even especially, you know, in writers of color, in the search to find a voice that is not the same voice as the dominant culture, and how that voice that may have been marginalized in other sectors can come through to create your own language and rhythm of experience that can relate to people across groups, actually, but to find that voice as a writer, I think the writers' groups are really helpful in that regard. I didn't think of mine primarily as a social group when I was involved in it, even though, you know, there was some aspect of that, but it was really a, you know, really focused on the writing and hearing your voice and having other people witness that and for you to see the impact that it has on people. Yeah.
Also, you know, I find that being in the group with other African American people, I am encouraged more because they understand for the same type of pitfalls that I've faced and vice versa. And we can talk about them and we can be really honest about them because we know what's out there that will stop us. And,
right.
And we can build each other up over those hurdles and encourage each other to keep going or what we need to fix in our own writing. And it's not judgmental. It's just what they know. And I feel that's really a help for me. When I find other people or groups like me that understand the hurdles that I will see or that I've already seen.
And to help with those hurdles, one of the things we've done in the group is we will, if you hear about a book that has helped you or it sounds like it helped someone else, then the group will order a copy for everyone in the group. And we read it and we talk about it together.
Where does the money come from for the retreats, for the copies? Do people pay dues to be a part of these groups?
We pay dues, but also we have a grant writer here. In our group, we have Denorja, who's a grant writer. And
okay, honestly, we did not know this. But
and that helped.
Yes, I do. And our organization, the Maya Angelou Writers Guild, is a 501c3 nonprofit organization.
So this is a little more formal than I realized.
It began in 19...
It began about more than 30 years ago.
Yeah. Wow.
I didn't come in until about 28 years ago.
And I came in after you invited me. And that's the one thing about the Maya Angelou Writers Guild. You have to be invited by a member.
You not only have to be invited. Well, I remember when I came in, you had to audition. You brought a piece of your work.
Audition?
Yeah, you brought a piece of your work, and there was a dinner.
Yes.
And after the dinner, I read. I was shaking like a leaf on the tree because all these people were writers, and they had invited me to come there. So I read, and then they told me that I would get a telephone call. And so you had to wait until they had discussed you, and then they called you to invite you to the next meeting.
And I think I had to read, too.
You did.
At a dinner, and I had to read my work, and I was shaking.
Yeah.
And they were writing, taking notes.
I was saying,
I think I better get up and leave now. But I got a call, and then I was accepted, and that was good.
That was good. Pledging.
They were formal in that way, but we used to always have it in the group travel from home to home. So when it was your turn, you made dinner. People could bring something to add to your dinner, but mostly it was a soul food dinner. Mm-hmm. I learned how to make okra more ways since I came to this group. And then after the meal, there's usually a couple of bachelors. They bring little things to carry home, some boo that's left over. So,
yeah.
So it's informal in one way, but very formal, a lot of guidelines in another way.
And Lillian Whitlow was so giving. I think she's written about 10 books now.
Yes.
And she would just put her arm around you and let you know you could do this.
And that is a name that I have heard over the years.
Yes.
As being sort of like the godmother that, you know, she kept things going and she was the voice of encouragement. And she has been a guest on our show.
Yes.
I'm sorry, what about some success stories. And I don't necessarily mean New York Times, but people, either in your experience or others, books that you know probably would not have been completed were it not for, you know, participation in the in a book club. And I hope that our guests who are on the phone will also chime in. But.
Well, DeNorge has written 3 books, and do I see a 4? DeNorge has written 4 books. Right. When I first met DeNorge, she had not published a book yet. I was just telling her about the book club, and she said she'd like to come. So she got invited, and now she's published author of 4 books.
Right.
That's success.
Okay.
And she's traveled to other countries to actually do readings from her book.
And book signings.
Yes.
Yeah.
Well, for me, I was invited to our Google Hangout group because I was a published author. And the groups I had participated in before were all local here in Chicago. But the online group, and I believe, you know, someone else mentioned about the social aspects of it, you know, there are times when we will be online having our Hangout for 6-7 hours, you know, going till, at least in Chicago time, 2 in the morning. So that's, and the nice part about that is we're all in our own homes, and that makes it a lot easier, so we don't have to go someplace else to hang out.
Yeah, and I have met some wonderful people in the Hangout. I was invited, and I am just so glad because I've met people, and in that group when we're talking, you can ask questions about something that's troubling you in your writing or something that was really good, and people will chime in and encourage or give you more information or tell you what they might be able to do.
Well, I have to sadly say we are coming to the end of another show. So I want to thank both our guests so much for calling in and joining us today. Thank you.
It was an honor.
Thank you, William.
Well, yeah, I feel like I missed the show.
No, Daria.
I was called in at 11:40, and so I did, and so then I feel like I missed the show or something.
No, you did. You did. I'm so glad you were able to join us today.
Well, I called in, but it sounded like I missed the show. I don't understand. Oh. I called in at the time you told me to call in.
Oh, okay.
I think we just might have to bring you back again.
Yes, I mean,
we'll
bring you back.
We want you back.
I'm very. So I would love to participate, but I called in at the time you gave me, and apparently the show's over, so I missed it.
It was a wild morning in Portland.
Yes, it was.
And, all right.
And thank you, Daria, and thank you, William. We just appreciate you so much. And let us know the titles of your books, and, you know, we can let people know that they can look up your names and find you on Amazon, hopefully.
Mine is, well, I send my blankets over you.
Okay.
I send my blankets over you. Yes, that's the title of the book. And it's on Amazon, and it's also on authorhouse.com.
Thank you. And William, yours is on Amazon as well?
I would say just go to Amazon and do a search for the Dark Side Trilogy written by a Japanese-sounding guy.
Okay.
My last name is Hayashi. And so that's probably the easiest way to find my work.
Okay. So goodbye until the month of May.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, you're listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 12 o'clock. Up next, we have Shaksa Shiba.
KBOO Community Radio holds open meetings concerning the operations and programming of KBOO in accordance with requirements of the Communications Act of 1934 and certification requirements of the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. Information about KBOO Community Radio's open meeting policy is available by calling the station at 503-231-8032. Meetings will be held at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland. The Personnel Committee will meet on the second Monday of each month at 6 p.m.
Hi, I'm Teresa Mitchell, and I broadcast Press Watch, the news you're not supposed to know on KBOO. I have a special message for my fellow white programmers and volunteers. We have to work together to recognize and address how white privilege works to exclude people. It's the beloved community.